This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio, is celebrating our 10th year doing episodic education. Write that down. It's tough to write that word, episodic education, but we have the best and the most content in the entire automotive aftermarket as we've been podcasting for 10 years. Find us at remarkableresults.biz or the Aftermarket Radio Network. Also on Spotify, YouTube, Apple, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for being here. I got a hell of an episode. It's all about volunteerism and supporting and helping people that need transportation. I think you're going to love it. Before we get started, a great word from our sponsors. Hey, for over 30 years, NAPA Trax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the best, most comprehensive SMS in the industry. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Find NAPA Trax on the web at NAPATRACS.com. Hey, how well does your team know their stuff? Test their automotive skills with the Today's Class Basic, Advanced, or Service Advisor quizzes. It's a quick, effective way to spot gaps and grow stronger teams. Take the quizzes now at todaysclass.com/TC quiz. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Chris Cloutier is with me. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Hey, Carm. Glad to be back.
Well, Chris, you brought me this great episode because you've got the biggest heart of anybody that I know in the industry. And let me introduce the rest of our panel. Dan Georgopoulos, founder and CEO of Hands of the Carpenter at ehands.org out of Denver. Hello, Dan.
Hey, good morning.
And also, David Russell is with us, president of OnRamp DFW. That stands for Dallas-Fort Worth, I do believe.
You got that right. Morning, Carm.
Good morning, man. David's from, it's onrampdfw.org. And of course, Chris, CEO of AutoFlow and Golden Rule Auto Care, shops in Dallas. Look at Chris. Thanks for this. Let's talk about the size of your heart and why this is important for our industry to hear about the extreme requirements of transportation. Guys, I was reading, I can't remember, Dan or David, if it was one of your websites, and I was searching all over, just getting a great feel of what you guys do. And one of the things that hit me so hard was how we take for granted that we put the key in the ignition, we turn it on and we go. I'm sorry, I guess as a young man, I realized how badly I wanted to drive and get my first car and all that stuff. But over time, as we lived our life, we went to our jobs and we took the kids places and we bought groceries home and all that stuff, we forget how critically important transportation is to us. And guess what? There's people that don't have it and need it. And that's what this show is about. Chris?
You know, Carm, we all do it. All auto repair shop owners, at some point in time, we give away a car, we do some repairs for church. I always say this, and a lot of shop owners, I think, are going to agree with this, and it's unfortunate, but no good deed goes unpunished. A lot of times when we help our customers or we help somebody in need, we end up helping them, but you know, it doesn't end up well for us, right? And then we get burned and we get scorned and we don't want to do it again. And so I've done this and I've talked to a lot of shop owners about this. How can we help? How can we get back to our community? Because you know this, Carm, you know, after 10 years, you know, we all have huge hearts. We all want to help. That's what we're in, the service business. It means we serve people. And I said, there's got to be a better way. And, you know, Hands of Carpenter, we started donating some software with them. So I got to know Dan over the time and what they've done. And then, you know, David popped into my life from another charity. And David, you know, similar in the DFW area, which is my local area, Dan being in Colorado. And I'm like, wow, this is great. And I really wanted the industry to know about, hey, we can help support this. We can still do it ourselves, but there's organizations out there that absolutely have the heart for this and they have the process for this. And that's a lot of times where we get caught up, Carm, because I mean, I said this, it's, you know, every one of our customer wants a deal, right? They all need help. They all come in and say, what kind of deal can I get? Well, you know, I really need help on this, but there are really some people out there that need true help.
Thanks for the introduction. Dan, I got to ask you, help me clarify exactly what goes on. Do you have a repair facility as part of a Hands of the Carpenter?
Yes, yeah, so we have three full-service repair facilities in the Denver metro area, all 100% geared towards serving working single moms.
It's full-time.
It has. We're 23 years into it, and it's full-time for all shops and all staff.
I can't imagine, Dan, the number of organizations that support single moms, I think. Which was your site that I read that the single moms is one of the requirements?
Yeah, Working Single Moms is the kind of narrow focus of who we think we can have the biggest impact on. Not that there's no one else that needs help, because there's millions of more people, but we think we can have the biggest impact on working single moms in Denver Metro.
So a working single mom, a legal license, what else is the requirement?
Yeah, just a legal license driver in Colorado, license, insurance, and registration, and then a working single mom with kids at home. And if that's you or you know somebody that fits that, we're here to serve them.
You know, it's amazing when you stop and think a working single mom that has a legal license that doesn't have any transportation, but yet the word working and children in there just rock your socks when you think about the need that people have. This whole episode made me rethink everything about charity and help and support. It really did. As I did the research to get here, and I guess the point that I'm trying to make to our listener is you should not be turning this off, because it's not about finance and it's not about marketing and employee retention and KPIs. This is about the heart. And I said it a little earlier and I want to say it again. David, you got a pretty damn big heart to do what you're doing.
Well, you know, I think it resonates with a lot of people to see somebody who legitimately needs a hand up. And I think a lot of us have been there at some point in our lives where whatever circumstances conspired against us or something unforeseen happened and someone came out of their area and out of their generosity and helped us. And, you know, we're a faith-based organization with that as the message that we've received that. And so we are there to give that. It's a joy. I tell you what, it is more fun than you can imagine to see somebody. I mean, just a recent example of someone who has been taking the bus and taking the train for 6 hours a day. She has to wake up and she has to leave by 5 a.m. to get there at 8. So we mapped out, okay, how far is it to her work? It's a 20-minute drive. She has 5 hours back to spend, single mom, similar, Dan, and she has 5 hours to spend with her son. She almost immediately signed up to start taking classes to go back to college. I mean, just, and so it's so much fun. I mean, so I don't know, big heart or not, but man, it's fun to be a part of that.
You know, transportation, I guess I've always been taught, is freedom. Freedom to come and to go and to do whatever it is that you need or want to do. But, you know, majority of it is about earning a living and providing for you and or your family. And I guess the thought here is that stop and think, you don't have wheels. Just let that roll around your head just a little while. You don't have wheels.
I mean, Carm, you said it, right? You put the keys in the car. And as an auto repair shop owner, we know this. It's frustrating when the customer comes in and they're like, I put the keys in the ignition and it didn't start today. And they're mad, right? They're not happy because it's not an iPad or new iPhone or new iWatch or something that they're buying. It's this car that they rely upon that they always think is going to start. And they think, we get it. We just fixed this. Well, why did this break? I was just talking to a neighbor the other day and he's like, I said, well, you got an ignition coil going out. Well, why did it go out? And I'm like, well, it's 2017. Like, it's going to go out. Well, are more going to go out? Yeah, absolutely. Like, more are going to go out. Well, this sucks. And I'm like, yeah, this is a car. But for us, right, as auto repair shop owners, once again, like, you know, the people come through our door most of the time, like, they have the funds at least to do this. So, you know, the 6 hour example, you know, somebody who is, and I think both David and Dan, when they vet people, it's a lot about, it's not give me a car and I'll do this. It's like, we're doing this. And wow, if we had this, it would make our lives so much better. Like, that's awesome, right? That's like, okay, you know, giving that hand up, I think is an important part of it. It's not just like, yeah, and we all know that in life, right? You know, people are like, oh, if I only had, well, you know, these are people, I think a lot of times they help that are doing. And I think that's where the even more awesome, you know, part comes in. You know, this whole experience.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Guys, look, at podcasting has a lot to do with storytelling. And David, Dan, I'm going to ask each of you to tell me if you got, listen, come in and do a quick keynote first. David, Dan, tell us all about your organization. Share with us the story that you would tell people. David, I'll start with you.
There are many, but I'll just give you a recent one that's just impacted me greatly. And it's a refugee family from East Africa. and very well-to-do family there. In fact, he was president of university. He's a doctor in international law. But in his community, he saw some refugees being just brutalized by the government and said, you know, I am the person to do something about this. I actually can. I can go to court and I can represent them. And so he took the government to court and he won. And so immediately, you know, that changed, but his family then became in danger. And so he and his family had to flee the country. They resettled in another country. And this is the crazy part, is that as they settled and got, you know, all their day-to-day stuff figured out, he saw the same thing happening again in this new country. And so he said, I know what to do. And so he took that country to court. And all this is documented. You can see the documents that he wrote. He took them to court and he won again. And they had to change. And so actually, you know, different organizations actually swooped in and grabbed his family at that point because of how much danger they were in. And he ended up here in Dallas. But all of his degrees, all the things that he's worked to have, mean nothing in Texas. He can't practice law here. So he's essentially working at a 7-Eleven to try to provide for his family. And just the most humble guy you could imagine, that you would look at that and say he did the right thing. And yet all the stuff happened to him. So for us to come in and say, hey, can we help you resettle? And this isn't someone that I'm looking at and saying, you know, out of my high position, let me read. It's like, man, I want to learn from you. This is amazing how you have sacrificed. And if we can come in and make your life a little bit easier and better and give you an opportunity to thrive here, we're thrilled to do that.
What a story. Sounds like the movie of the week.
I agree.
Wow. And so you, somewhere along the line, just give me a little detail. Someone recognized this, went to you, and you went through a vetting process.
Yes. So our process is we work with other organizations in the area who have relationship with people already. And so they have at least a 6-month relationship. And so they can say, we've seen them working hard. We've seen the situation they're in. We vouch for them. An organization that we've worked with several times came to us and said, hey, this is somebody who checks all the boxes. And, you know, we then did our interview and all of our due diligence, and it was quickly evident for us that this is the exact kind of person that we want to help.
David, like Dan has multi-locations and technician specialists that work on these vehicles. Do you do maintenance or just do the cars?
We don't do maintenance. We just give people cars, actually, which is a very unusual thing we've found out. So people can donate vehicles to us or we go and purchase them. We get them serviced in great working condition and we give it away to somebody.
Okay. So you're from Dallas-Fort Worth. You sent me a note. This blew my mind, David. Dallas is the worst large city in the U.S. for not owning a vehicle. And is that because the young people want to Uber or is because there's a lot of struggling people?
It's mostly the second one. So the sprawl that happens here, the public transportation just really does not reach it. And if you look at some of the stats, you can look at some of the census reports, you know, very recent, where it shows that of the around 800,000 people that are below the poverty line, only 1% of them can actually use public transportation to get to work. It's a crazy number. So it's, you have to travel a great distance to get somewhere where you can make, you know, a living. And so it's crazy. And that research was done by Rice University. You can look it up and see. It's the number one worst in Texas. And then as far as large cities, it's the worst in the United States.
Thanks for the background and the update on that. Dan, give us your bestest story.
Those are hard. Like, I think David was trying to recall which one do I choose, but I think I'll choose one that involves something a little different than initially getting a car to somebody, because there's probably 20% of what we do is get cars to people that don't have them. And 80% is helping them maintain and make reliable vehicles out of the ones they have. What we've seen is a long view of that is important in terms of walking with them we walk with them for 3 years once they've gotten a car or once we meet them. And that involves a level of education around car care and just what the muscle memory, so to speak, is on what you need to do to take care of a car to make it last a long time, like Chris was talking about.
Let's face it, your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NapaTrax offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on site. Yep, on site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. NapaTrax is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com. Transform your team with today's class, where automotive training is easy, quick, and fun. Just 5 minutes a day on our app can eliminate hours of looking up forgotten information later. It's perfect for technicians, advisors, and managers alike. Keep critical knowledge fresh and top of mind, ensuring your team operates at peak efficiency. Today's class is impactful, accessible from anywhere, and a bit of fun too, and we're not talking about after-hours pizza either. For training that gets results, turn to todaysclass.com. To your point earlier, Chris, with your neighbor in the ignition coil, you buy the car once and you never have to fix it or repair it or maintain it forever. Things don't break, do they?
Yeah. So the one I'll share is about a single mom that it's a couple of years old, but it shows kind of a spiral effect of what can happen. So we got to participate in a small part of the journey of a single mom with two children who was working. She had a car. It was a car that someone sold her that wasn't a good long-term car. She moved in with another single mom to try to share space. And one of her kids got sick. And the other person she was sharing space with was concerned about that illness and actually asked her to leave. And at the same time, she had basically had an unreliable car. And so she had to leave that apartment. Unreliable car led to being what an employer would call an unreliable employee. And she lost her job. And so at that point, she found herself with two kids, no place to live, car that wasn't reliable, and no job. Unfortunately, that led to her children being taken away from her because she couldn't provide for her family. And that's what a reliable vehicle does. It enables a single mom or anyone that's in need to provide for their family. It certainly is freedom, but I would use the word opportunity. And without it, you lack significant opportunity. So that was the point at which somebody in her sphere of influence told her to connect with Hands of the Carpenter. And when she did, we brought her vehicle in and certainly confirmed that it was not the right vehicle for her to be in long term. She persevered and got two part-time jobs to try to continue to work and was doing the things, taking the bus, again, desiring to get her children back. And so her work showed or demonstrated to us her persistence, which is what we want to see. And we want to see that they're demonstrating the desire to move from where they are to somewhere else on their journey. And so we started working with her. We repaired that car to keep it going for a few months while she was able to save a little bit of money and support a fraction of the cost of a vehicle that we found for her. Over time, those two jobs turned into a full-time job, and she was able to get an apartment. She was able to get her kids back in her custody because now she was working, had a place to live, and could provide for them. And I just personally can't imagine going through that journey. The unreliable car is one thing, but if you're trying your best and you're unable to provide for your family, so you lose your family, I just can't imagine being in that situation, all because of a car and losing a job. And I think that's some of the compassion and passion that probably David and I share together. And you guys.
You guys are saving lives.
Providing hope.
Okay. I'm spellbound by hearing these stories of how you've absolutely changed lives. Chris, There are so many shops throughout the country that are doing this within the sound of my voice. And I know even friends here in the Buffalo area say how they've helped people get over hurdles and humps in their life because of a friend asked them, can you help? I find that the people in this business understand freedom and opportunity, using your word, Dan, the word opportunity. That's what the vehicle gives you. They understand how critically important it is for people, and we've seen them step up. But your organizations are big, and they're bold, and they're outreaching, and they're there. How do you get the vehicles, Dan, David? People that you know, do they come from around the country? Give us an idea. We'll start with you, David.
It started off with us raising the funds to purchase each vehicle. And that still is a big part. And you know, we're not buying new cars. We've got a perfect little window. You know, Dan, I'm sure you've seen the same, you know, as far as what kind of vehicle do you recommend. But they're, you know, 10-year-old Corolla, you know, or Honda Civic or something like that. That's the sweet spot for us. We purchase those. You know, we have several buyers that we use. Once upon a time, I was on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace trying to find something that someone is selling. You know, what's awesome is as the DFW community is becoming aware of this, we've started having more people donate vehicles to us. And I just think of one story in particular. You know, a woman went in to trade in her car and they offered her $500 for it. And she's like, whoa, this car's still running great, has years left. I'm just ready to, you know, get something new. But $500. So she went and looked it up. And she said most of the organizations she found would take a car, a donated car, but then they might sell it and put it towards something else, which is fine. And there's a lot of great organizations doing that. But OnRamp DFW will try to take that car and then repurpose it to actually give it to someone. And then the people who have donated it actually come to that giveaway and they can come and actually meet the person that's getting that car and they can hear their story. So that's become almost half of the vehicles we give away now are donated vehicles that we then take. And, you know, Chris has been one of the shops that we use to get it serviced and people that they have a big heart as well. And they're like, hey, here's a piece we can help with. And then we take it and we give it away.
How are you doing the card thing, Dan?
It is unfortunate that the number over the last decade, but maybe the last 5 years, the number of vehicle donation programs that take them and use a third party and sell them. And it would be amazing, right, David, if 100% of those would get out to people that need transportation. There's great vehicle donation programs that raise money through selling those cars for things like animals and children and things like that. So don't get me wrong, but the need for reliable vehicles, in my opinion, far outpaces the need for turning it into cash because the value is significantly lost. However, we take in about 400 vehicles each year. Believe it or not, roughly about 10% of those can be turned into a safe, reliable vehicle because of the condition they're being turned in. And I think aftermarket and, you know, the used car market would also demonstrate and statistically that cars are being worn harder, used longer, higher mileage, those sorts of things. So that piece is unfortunate, but we're placing vehicles mostly through vehicle donations too, and supplementally through car purchases.
How many people are you supporting every year? Is it like one a week? I don't mean from a maintenance perspective, but getting a qualified individual into a vehicle. Are you doing it weekly? How many times a year?
I would say it's almost spot on once a week that we're getting a vehicle to somebody. We're serving now a little over 800 every year, an average of four times each year through the repair program.
Dan, where's all this money coming from to keep everyone gainfully employed?
The generosity of the individuals that give, really, foundations, or even, for example, what Chris said, there's times that you can give and there's times that you can not charge. Yeah, so those are equal in my eyes, just however you can get involved. And Dave mentioned partners are really important too. And I would agree, if there's shops out there that can come alongside and support one of these cars that's been donated or somebody that needs help, the best case is what we do really well, and that's finding the right people. And shops do what they do well, and that's doing the repairs. And I think that's where some of the burnout can happen when it's hard for a shop to qualify somewhere and no one who's in need and who's not.
When shops do stand beside these organizations, right? I mean, this industry is great, like breaks for breasts, like that. It's catchy. And we all, I'm going to make a joke, but it's going to be inappropriate. So I'm not going to make the joke. But like, that's one of the organizations like we support. There's these other ones that we can stand beside, right? That's just not, hey, we wear the pink stuff, which is great. Once again, I totally support breaks for breasts. But Dan said it really well, and David said it, I think, really well. Like, what can shops do? We can stand beside them. We repair cars. And you know what is really nice? We always talk about culture, Carm. You talk about culture. We talk about culture. Everybody on here comes on. Every shop owner says, hey, I want a great culture. You know what makes a great culture is when your guys know that they're fixing a car and that car is going to go to somebody who's going to give them the freedom and opportunities to have a better life. And there's not one technician or service writer that's ever going to go, oh man, I had a bad day today. They're going to go home to their wives and their kids and they're going to go, wow, this is what we did today. We took this car and we helped this organization. And the stories make you want to cry. I mean, they make me want to cry. How could you not be a part of it, right? How could you not want your people to be a part of it?
Totally agree, Chris. I was basically going to ask you that question and you just nailed it. I'm so glad you did, because I think that helps summarize the discussion that we're having. And that is, if you're listening to this, share it with a friend who says, you know, you've always wanted to help. You've always wanted to say, I'm this in my level, in my career, and I want to jump to another place. Everybody says, what's next? Oh, I'm down to working 3 days a week. I'm a little bored. What's next? Ooh, this could be the episode that sets you off on a journey to help people. And to everyone's point, you're maybe not sending a car to Denver or to DFW, to David or Dan, but I guarantee you guys that there's an organization in your town that needs you and your services, your smarts, your capabilities, like badly.
I agree, Carm. Not only are they giving away cars, I think both of these organizations do a good job of making sure that the person they give the car to understands that car needs to be maintained. So I support this other organization. It is called Every Village, and they go to Africa. And so Africa, everybody says, hey, we're going to go put wells in Africa. And then the well breaks. And then nobody can get water from the well. And it's horrible. Well, Every Village goes in there and they teach people how to fix the wells. And it's like this great, and I'm like, wow, that makes sense. And I think it's the same thing about these organizations. They're just not giving the car. They're making sure that people understand they have to take care of this car, that they have to do this oil change. So there's beyond just this gift, it's also teaching them how to fish, right? And teaching them there's longevity in there. And I think that's an important piece and aspect to what they do as well.
You know, Dan, I think it was you who said we helped them for 3 years on the maintenance side. Did you say that?
That's a component. Those 3 years represent 3 years that we think that car, we think it's going to take that person 3 years to get out of where they're at to where they want to go to. And we want to walk alongside them.
That got me a great warm feeling that we're just not going to set it and forget it. We're going to set it and own it, if you will, to a point. We're going to own the fact that freedom and opportunity only comes from maintenance, and those wheels have to keep rolling. Ooh, that's kind of cool.
Here's a fun fact. We've started tracking the progress of women over the 3 years, and this will demonstrate opportunity where if a woman does not have a car, which is the same situation as the participants that David is setting up, that after she gets her car, if she's employed before she gets it, she gets one, her income increases an average of 27% in the first year. And that's opportunity. She can go out somewhere further than two blocks away to work. She can work in a place that can pay her more than the neighborhood store or something like that. And it continues to increase. It's up to 54% by the end of the 3 years, but it's a significant difference. And her choices and her attitude and her perseverance contribute, I'm going to even say mostly to that. But without a reliable car, it wouldn't happen.
Yeah, there's a faith-based aspect too. I am a faith-based person. I don't deny it. I'm a follower of the Lord. And you know this, Carm, I profess it. You know, people come to my training. They're like, Chris, you have scripture in you. And I'm like, yeah, I know. It's crazy. But I'm like, all business books were written off the Bible, by the way. It's just, we've changed them. The important piece about that is like, I think that spiritual part, or that, hey, we're here to help you. Once again, not just the maintenance and not just the car, but like, we're here to help you in your journey of life. Because you know, when you're, and I was sitting down with David in breakfast, and he, you know, he's telling me like this whole, you know, the year that they spend with they're people, like they're helping, like they're coaching, like they're there for them. Like it's not just, and I know Dan does the same. Like it's not just, once again, here, this and this, there's a life aspect to all this as well, where, you know, we do it. Sometimes we think that small little rock that we throw in the, you know, in the pond doesn't make a difference, but man, those ripples, they do make a difference, right?
What'd you have for breakfast, David?
I had a skillet or something, didn't I?
It was good. Yeah, it was good. We've been there a couple of times now.
It's, you know, I just second that. And also, you know, when we're just to connect a few dots here, when we talk about organizations and what is it that we do well, I think it's so important that these organizations are working together. And because sometimes it can be, you know, a giveaway, here are the keys, and then that's the end. And that's something that really the model that we have, that's not the end. This is the beginning of that relationship. And so, you know, Dan, I love that you guys are doing 3 years. We do one. We pay for all maintenance in that first year. First of all, to help them just get their feet under them with their savings. But also, like we mentioned, to, you know, get in the habit that anytime I hear a noise or I feel something, rather than me just kind of saying, I can't afford that and pushing it to the side, saying, wait a second, no, I'm going to take it in because they're going to pay for it, right? And get in that habit of taking care of your car. But then also it helps us to maintain that relationship that you're talking about, Chris, yeah. That there's a relationship there that we're not just interested in them driving a car. We're interested in them and their success. And Dan, I think you said the word hope earlier, because really that's one of the main things we have to offer people that have gotten into a place that feels very hopeless. And when a group comes and says, we believe in you and we're going to walk next to you through this, you know, it's not only the vehicle, but now there's some confidence. Then, you know, bringing in the faith piece as well, right? It's that we're also here representing a God that loves you and sees you in this hard situation. I think all those together. So I'm thinking, you know, if you're a shop owner, it may be hard to do those later steps. And so partnering with an organization that can do them, but maybe that organization can't come in and fix a car or purchase a car. They don't know that world. And so having those join together really multiplies what we can do together.
So well said. The encouragement then for the listener, Chris, is to get up, get out there, make a phone call, drop your ear to the ground, get in your networking, community networking group. Community. There's the word we failed to discuss here. This is community on steroids, the more I think about it.
I've been supporting Hands of Carpenter for 3-4 years now, Dan. I mean, maybe even 5 years. It's in Denver. I don't care. Like, I don't live in Denver. But you know what? Every once in a while, I visit Denver. Every once in a while, and I know shop owners in Denver. And when I go to Denver and I think about, you know, and this is weird. I give blood to Carm, and this is going to be totally weird. I've given gallons and gallons and gallons of blood because I have type O negative. They love it. And every once in a while, I'll drive by somebody or I'll walk by somebody. I'm like, I wonder if they have my blood running in their veins. So I go to Denver and I drive around in Denver. I see somebody and, you know, I might be like angry on the road because I'm trying to get where I got to go. And I'm like, I wonder if maybe some of the donations and help I've given has helped this person. It changes my perspective, right? Now I'm happy Chris versus angry Chris has to get somewhere. I know it's kind of messed up. And
that analogy is just the slickest ever. Is my blood running through their veins? Or is that vehicle on the road maybe because of my donation or my money or whatever?
Yeah, that's a big deal. Maybe one other thing to think about when you're wondering who's the ripple effects that Chris was talking about is we've also started studying the effects of reliable transportation on the children of the people we serve. And if you can imagine the David story about the person that was going 3 hours each way back to work, they've also got children in school potentially. And how do you get to work and school and home? And what if you have a sick child at the same time? Being able to have a car means you can keep your children in school and you can get them there regularly. And they can participate in things, whether it's sports or art or music, that are after school, that keep them involved in things that are healthy and fruitful for them and their family, and not in things that, you know, might be staying at home or having 5 or 6 hours free when mom or dad's trying to be on a bus while you're done with school. So the effects are more so than just the adult that's being served.
So well said, Dan. Dan Georgopoulos, the founder and CEO of Hands of the Carpenter out of Denver. I'm going to make that your last words. It was so well said. David, any final thoughts?
it can be easy to not know and so to not do anything. That's part of my story. And even what's led me here is to say, I need to be out there doing stuff. I need to be helping people. And so I just, an encouragement for those of you that I know are doing great things, for people that are looking for the, how can I help? And at a cost even to me at times. And I just say, keep doing that and look for more opportunities. And, you know, if you feel the world around you feels negative or feels, you know, it's a great way to put smiles on people's faces and to have that joy as well that you mentioned, Chris, that you go home at the end of the day and say, I not only did I do, you know, something skilled, but I also got to help somebody with it.
Well said, David. David Russell, president of OnRamp DFW. That's onrampdfw.org. And by the way, Dan's email or organization is ehands.org out of Denver. Wow. Three locations, you said, Dan?
We opened our third one just last October.
Wow. Unbelievable. Chris, Golden Rule Auto Care, CEO of AutoFlow, thanks for bringing this to me. I think this was a great heartfelt episode that we needed to do and to encourage our industry to put some muscle behind this.
We all help. I said this at the beginning. There's not one shop owner I don't know that doesn't do this already. We all do it. And once again, you know me, Carm, I ask a lot of questions to myself and other people. And I'm like, man, I don't want to be the one who makes the mistake in finding these organizations and finding, like you said, they're all over, you know, and here's two that, you know, I know both these guys, they're great people, right? They have a heart for this. How can we as an industry really stand behind something like this and really get involved? And I want shop owners to know that, look, $10 matters, $50 matters. A free car repair, like Dan said, if you're in the Denver area and you're like, hey, you know what? And we know a lot of guys in Denver area and, you know, hey, you know, I could do a free repair for these guys. What does that mean? You know, it means one more dollar that they didn't have to raise. It means one more person that they were able to help. So I think not only can we help, you know, with dollars and donations, but we can help with our service. We've got this massive network, Carm, that you've created that runs wide and deep. And once again, everybody I know from the shop owners, men, women out there, we have great hearts. And here's a way you can help and let them do what they do really well. And we can continue to do what we do really well.
Oh, thanks, Chris. I've got to encourage the audience to use Chris's analogy of the blood flowing through your veins or the vehicle that's on the road because of the contributions of time, service, or money that you gave. I got to summarize this based on a lot of the great talking points that have hopelessness to hope, and that equates to freedom and opportunity. And we need to do a whole lot more of that. And if you're not, get involved. Thank you guys so much for being here. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Carm.
Thanks for having us, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.